Every single membership, bar none, should have an exit survey. Memberships thrive and growth is fueled on data and feedback. Your members will tell you what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong, and they will help you shape your membership.
This is the Off the Charts Business Podcast, and you just heard from Mike Morrison. If you're not familiar with him, he is the founder of the Membership Geeks and Membership Academy, where he spent over 15 years as the driving force behind countless successful membership businesses. He's the host of an award-winning podcast, author of 3 best-selling books, and can regularly be found on stages around the world at events including Social Media Marketing World, Atomicon, and Podcast Movement. Let's get into it. Welcome, Mike. I am so excited to have you here with us on the Off the Charts podcast today. We have known each other for a really long time, and you have such a vast experience in the membership space. So thanks for being here.
It's my absolute pleasure. It's so great to chat to you again. I think you were one of the very first guests that I ever had on my podcast. And I've done like 400 odd episodes now and taken a break for nearly 2 years. So that, yeah, you know, you're in the online space when you measure time by podcast episodes.
Yes, I love it. That's awesome. All right. So today's topic is all about membership and growing a membership, keeping a membership, going in the right direction, right? So I think a lot of times we think about two things, getting new people in and getting people to stay. So one of the things that I find really fascinating that you talk about is that sometimes retention is not the most important metric that you should be tracking. So can you tell us why that is?
I think obviously retention is very, very important. And pretty much the first thing you learn when you get in the membership game is memberships are a retention business. But I think what people miss is that retention is kind of just one variable in the larger equation and the larger KPI that really is what it's all about. And that is your average customer lifetime value. Like, you can have a membership that charges $5 a month and has a 2% retention rate, and that's going to be less financially successful than a membership that charges $100 a month and has terrible, terrible churn. So really, member lifetime value is kind of the king of all metrics. And I think it's important to shift the perspective of your strategy from just obsessing about getting your churn rate down to looking at how we can actually increase that member lifetime value over a longer period. Because when we are obsessed with churn, we become obsessed with cancellations. And that's where a lot of bad practices come in. That's where a fear of cancellations comes from. And that's where you get people making missteps around how they deal with people who are leaving their membership. But the truth is, a large percentage of people who leave will come back. And they'll come back numerous times over a span of years. But if you're just thinking about your churn rate, you usually don't think beyond that cancellation. But when you're thinking about that bigger picture of average member lifetime value, you could have someone who comes back 4, 5, 6 times and ends up being your most valuable customer. But you might just look at their retention rate and think they're terrible. You know, that's not the type of person I want. When actually, when we look at that big picture, they're adding to that lifetime value. And that's really what it's all about. And I think changing our perspectives of cancellations of churn is critical for that reason.
I think that's such a great insight. I feel like when we see somebody cancel, we kind of take it personally, right? Especially as the person who created this thing. You've maybe built a relationship with the person if you have a forum or if you have other ways of communicating through private notes or if you do coaching, or that you've met this person and now you're like, oh, they didn't like me. That's what we take away from the situation, but that's not the reality. So I love that you mentioned that they'll come back and that it's not personal. It might just be something in their life happening where they're too busy to take advantage of the membership or something else, right? So I'd love to hear your take on that too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've been doing this close to a decade now, and I still take some cancellations personally. I will tell everyone, you can't take it personally, but sometimes it does feel that, especially if it is someone, like you said, that you've met a few times, you've maybe done member meet, exchange emails, talked to in the forum, and if they leave, but for whatever reason, they haven't filled out any feedback on your exit survey, then that hurts a little bit more. But again, it's just remembering that a lot of the times when people do leave, they actually leave for temporary reasons. The most common reasons people will leave a membership will usually be that they don't have enough time or they can't afford the payments right now, especially over the last few years when the economic situation has been declining, when there's been a lot more uncertainty. And so recognizing again that cancellation is a little soundbitey, but cancellation is not condemnation. And it's also not the end of the journey. And someone leaving today because money's tight, you know, I don't know, something like a global pandemic has just hit, and maybe they're just rethinking what they're spending and they need a little breathing room. That's not going to be permanent. That's something that may well change in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. It may take a couple of years. Same with the time challenge as well. Someone might just be really overwhelmed with everything going on in their lives. And for them, being part of your community either isn't a priority, or it's just not something they have the bandwidth to actually benefit from. And so, yes, they'll leave, and yes, it'll hurt because you think you'll never see them again, but they'll usually come back. And you have to try not to take it too personally.
Yes, I love that. And one of the things that you mentioned was the exit survey if somebody cancels. So what does that look like? Because I know there's sort of these win-back strategies. There's different ways to approach the cancellation point. Mm. And, you know, obviously we don't want to obsess over the cancellations, like you said, but are some things that we can do, right, that make it more useful for us as membership site owners to either improve the experience or maybe figure out what else we could do to make it easier for people to stay if possible.
Yeah, every single membership bar none should have an exit survey. Memberships thrive and growth is fueled on feedback and data, data and feedback. Your members will tell you what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong, and they will help you shape your membership. And so you need to know if someone is leaving, why are they leaving? And it's as simple as that, really. Don't make it too obstructive. Don't make it, my biggest bugbear, don't make them email you, or worse, call you. Who wants to speak on the phone in 2024? Don't make them contact you and then wait for you to get your backside in gear to process the cancellation. And don't make it so they have to complete a 30-part questionnaire before they leave. Just 2 or 3 questions. You know, if you find out what they joined to achieve and what is their main reason for leaving, and maybe what could we have done to make it easier for you to stay? That is going to give you not only a wealth of information about how you can improve things inside the membership, but also it will help you refine your marketing as well to make sure that the promises you're making are matching up with what is being delivered. Make sure that you're attracting the right kind of people for the right kind of reasons who are more likely to actually stick around. And while the purpose of an exit survey isn't to try and steer them away from cancelling, you obviously want to give it kind of one last shot, offer them an alternative. If someone's leaving because of financial or time reasons, if your membership software allows it, offer them the alternative of pausing their membership instead. It's a bit of a less severe detachment from your membership. It keeps them technically still as part of your member base. If they're leaving because they've achieved everything that they joined for, first of all, celebrate that. That's amazing. Well done. You've delivered. But think about what could be next. Maybe you've got other products. Maybe you've got coaching. Maybe you've got some consulting program. Offer that to them. So again, it's not about bolting the door. It's just about thinking through that process in their shoes and, you know, thinking about what might they need that is better suited to their reason for leaving. Because if you just give them the option, stay or go, it's binary. And most people, like most of us, when we're paying subscriptions, we assume it's binary. We're either a subscribed customer who pays or we're not. They're probably not going to be aware that there's alternatives. So yeah, offer those alternatives. And if you can get a little clever with it, and you can tailor what you offer based on what someone picks from a drop-down menu as their reason for leaving, then that's going to put you in better stead. And even just getting that information, it makes it easier to follow up with them months down the line and let them know that you miss them, of course. Let them know what they've missed and try to entice them back to your membership.
I love that. Yeah, we with XSLI, we're really big on letting people manage their membership subscriptions themselves. So being able to have people cancel themselves or pause themselves or that kind of stuff is really powerful. And I'm glad you mentioned that because it's kind of the opposite of what you said, where you have to email or call or something, right? Which is like, no, don't make people jump through hoops, right? This is just not nice.
You could kind of understand it, you know, again, back in the day, we've both been around this online space for a while. The technology wasn't 15 years ago. Early membership technology, largely because of the payment providers. It wasn't the membership plugins or platforms, it was the payment providers didn't have a way of pausing a subscription. Even now, PayPal doesn't have a particularly graceful way of pausing and resuming. They let you pause, but the resumes on PayPal, you know. But these days, there's no excuse for not doing it. The reason people don't have that self-serve aspect around their account, again, comes from that place of fear around cancellations. The idea that if you make it easy for someone to leave, they will leave. But there's a great line from Robbie Kelvin Baxter from Membership Economy. Your retention strategy needs to be more sophisticated than hiding the cancel button. And that's what this is all about. And I personally feel that it has the reverse effect if you let members administer their own account. It has the reverse effect of what we think is going to happen. Because if you're locked in a room and you can't see the exit, what do you think about? Where's the exit? How am I going to get out if there's an emergency? If you're locked in a room and there's a big exit door with a big sign, you put it out of your mind. You don't think about it. You get on with whatever you're in that room to do. So, yeah, let people manage their own accounts. Let them pause if you have the ability to do that. Let them cancel if they need to. And, yeah, stop living in fear of cancellations.
I think this is almost all mindset work, right, around running a membership. And, you know, we talked about average member lifetime value. So how can we increase that? You mentioned one example of increasing your pricing. I know you have a lot of different strategies. So is there anything you can share for people to try or consider?
Yeah. So obviously you can either increase your price, improve your retention, you know, just a marginal percentage improvement on your retention can massively change your average member lifetime value for every single member. And the effects of just being able to pull that lever can be huge. But also looking at upsell opportunities to other products that you may be able to offer inside your membership. If you have multiple tiers, again, not taking for granted that if someone chooses the basic tier when they first join, that's where they want to stay. Making sure that you are scheduling in automated prompts for people to upgrade, that when you're doing sales campaigns, again, most people, their marketing and their sales mind is focused around getting new people in the front door, but successful memberships market beyond the sale. So if you're running promo campaigns, sales campaigns, run some that are targeted at your members, run a directed upgrade campaign, whether it's from monthly to annual, whether it's from basic tier to advanced tier. Look for those upgrade paths and make it really easy. Make sure you've got all the little CTAs in your membership. So at Membership Academy, we introduced a standard tier, a cheaper standard tier. We bolstered the previous regular membership up and put some more fun stuff in it. But, you know, we've got those big, big, unmissable calls to actions anytime you go to something that's not part of your tier in the member newsletters. We'll kind of mention if you're a pro member, you've got this. So make sure you've got those kind of things in place to market other things that you can offer inside your membership. And look for cross-selling opportunities as well. I always feel that if you sell any sort of services, if you run any kind of events, if you do conferences, live stuff, anything like that, the people in your membership should always get preferential access and preferential pricing. So, for example, we ran a conference here in the UK back in 2019, which pains me that it was that long ago, called Retain Live. People inside our membership, they were offered tickets first. They were offered tickets weeks before they went on sale. That's a perk of the membership because, you know, you're getting preferential treatment. They were also offered tickets at a much discounted rate compared to anyone else. Anyone who was smart would have seen they could just join the academy for like $50, which it was then, and they save $100 on the ticket. Anything that you do, anything you sell to the public at large, sell to your members first, sell to your members cheaper. And again, that'll add to that lifetime value as well, as you kind of just interweave everything that's in your business's ecosystem.
Yes, I love the word ecosystem here. And we did something similar when I was still doing live events. The idea with if you're doing some sort of an event or something, maybe it's like it could even be a virtual conference or something else that is timed where your members might meet each other or kind of connect more in a live format. I think that has a lot of added value if they're already a member because they know each other and then they get to take that relationship offline or in person. And, or even if it's virtual, like they could actually chat more during those kind of smaller, I think that's really cool and is a great cross-selling option for sure.
Yeah, with those kind of events, especially if you've got non-members in the room, your members will be your advocates in that room. And it creates that sense of FOMO for the people in the room who aren't members as well. So it's not only good upsell and cross-sell opportunities, it's a good opportunity to unleash your army of advocates on an unsuspecting public who haven't yet joined your membership. So yeah, just it just pays dividends.
Now we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Did you know Access Ally is the most flexible way to sell and elegantly deliver digital offerings as your business grows? All in one place on WordPress. You can create online courses, memberships, directories, and communities, and even sell team access, all on your terms. Go to accessally.com to get a demo and see why it's the business scaling solution you've been looking for. Welcome back. Absolutely. I love that. My mind is going in like all the different ways you can implement this. So with, let's say you have self-paced courses or you have other things that kind of complement your membership, you could do those as one-click upsells, or like you said, have a special price for members. So it's even more advantageous for them to upgrade to those. And yeah, there's just so many cool ways to combine that. And I know there's some stats around like how much easier it is to sell to somebody who's already a customer. And I feel like somebody who's a membership customer is, you know, already in a relationship with you. It's a long-term thing most of the time. Yeah. So I feel like that's even higher for membership type businesses.
Definitely. You've already got that trust. You've already got that track record. Like if you think of any time that you buy something online from somewhere that isn't Amazon, there's always that big question mark or that collection of question marks. Are they legit? Am I ever going to see my money again? Is what's shown on the sales page reflected once I actually get in there? And so your member base, for me, when we talk about that ecosystem, yes, I'm biased because I like memberships are my thing, but your membership should be at the heart of that ecosystem, whatever else you're offering. Like they are your kind of amped up email list. You know, people say the money's in the list. The money's literally in the membership. And if you kind of approach it that way, and obviously you don't want to bombard people, you have to get the balance right. There shouldn't be any sort of bait and switch where you promise the world, you promise the whole universe to someone to get them in the membership and say, well, actually, no, you just get this little planet. If you want the rest of things, then you've got to buy this, you've got to buy this. We've all seen memberships where you go in there and there's a huge library, but only one item's unlocked and you're like, oh, where the heck's everything else? So you have to not get carried away. But at the same time, you need to have that mindset of looking for these opportunities and implementing them smartly into the way you market your member base.
I'm glad you brought that up because we don't want to be like, hey, you should take advantage of people. That's definitely not the approach that we have. And I think people can smell that. They can feel that if you're being too greedy or however you want to think about it in terms of your marketing or all of that. So I think members, usually when they sign up, they're sort of taking a chance on you, like you said, and they're also in it with you, right? Because you kind of co-create your membership with them based on their feedback and all the stuff that you mentioned. So can you tell us a little bit more about using data and feedback? Because I know data is your thing. So to improve and make those types of changes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for a start, collect information at, I was going to say every point of the member journey, but yeah, the beginning and the end especially. So you want to have an onboarding survey as well when someone joins. You want to know the main thing they're looking to achieve. You want to know where they are in their journey, if yours is a membership that helps people towards a specific goal or towards some form of mastery or a particular outcome. You want to know where they are in their journey so you can start tailoring content towards them. You want to know where they found you and you want to know why are you here? Because that'll help you identify both what elements of your marketing are reaching people the best, but also what features of your membership they're going to be drawn to the most. So make sure you're getting this data. If you have the sort of setup where you can do this, use that information to segment your member base and tailor your communications. And if you want to be ninja, tailor the layout of your website, tailor the content, tailor it accordingly to where they are, meet them where they're at. Member surveys, we should be looking to do those every year at least. Don't just set out to collect nice things, or you know when you see those surveys where it's like they're basically just fishing for compliments in every single question. Like, test out ideas for new content. You know, something we always include in our member survey, anything that's come into the brain about, wouldn't this be cool if we had it? In the early days, we would just add it. Now we'll put all those on a list and basically select the top three of these things that appeal most to you. So get that information for new feature ideas, for existing features. Ask them about their behavior as well, rather than just their preferences. So don't kind of say how important is the community to you, or how much of a benefit do you think the community is. Ask them, how often do you visit the community? What would make you visit the community more? Things like that, that are behavioral as opposed to preferential, because the two very, very rarely correlate. And back all of this up with data, with website analytics, with using things like Hotjar, for example. So I've got Hotjar recording our members right now, just so you know, members, because I'm thinking about rejigging the dashboard, because I kind of feel there's one section that I've fallen out of love with and I think maybe might be confusing people. I'm watching recordings and crunching through click data and heat maps to see how are people actually using this specific page of the website. Back up that member feedback with that data, and yeah, just have that continuous feedback loop with your members as well. Ask them for wins, ask them for results they're getting. Proactively approach people and ask them for case studies where you can talk to them and find out what part you played in their journey. Again, that helps you amplify those elements of the membership. It helps you get good marketing communication messaging even. Just, yeah, talk, collect data, observe, do all the things, and be continuously open to evolving your membership, because memberships are an evolution. Memberships are never done. They're never finished. And they are led by your member behavior.
I think it's interesting to think about as this evolving kind of ecosystem with different people coming in and some leaving, and just what happens over time as, you know, you also grow as a business owner and what you learn and what you're able to pass on. So what are some very specific steps that people can take to fine tune their retention strategy? I know we've talked a lot about this already, but if you have specific things, like, here's how we do it.
I think we need to think about the middle part. Getting the onboarding right is not necessarily easy, but it's easily fixed. Every membership needs to have a solid onboarding process. Your listeners will know that because they're smart cookies, because they're listening to your podcast. They'll have their onboarding process, show people how to start, give them all the information that they need, collect the data, give them the helping hand, all that sort of stuff. And then you've got the other end, which is the people who are leaving. So we talked about that. But the bit in the middle is often where things get a little bit just lost, because keeping people engaged beyond just delivering on what they paid for, it's challenging. It's a little more intangible. It's a little more personal to people. So I'm a big, big fan of looking for ways of personalizing the member experience as much as possible. We use personal video a lot. We use Bonjoro, for example, not just to welcome every new member. So every time someone joins, they get a little video from Hannah, our fantastic community manager, welcoming them, starting the dialogue with them. That's the important thing as well. Don't just send the video saying, great that you're here, we'll see you inside the membership now, please do not hit reply. Like, actually starting an ongoing dialogue with them, that can end up spanning weeks and weeks and weeks. But we'll also send those videos out to people who are hitting milestones within their business, who are hitting milestones as a member. So if they're coming up to their 1 year anniversary, you know, we're showing that we're paying attention, we're acknowledging that, we're reaching out to people. We monitor people haven't been logging in. And again, if it's someone that we have a little connection with, we'll reach out and make sure that they're okay. And yeah, just looking for little things like this. And we do tailor the member experience as well according to where someone is in their journey. The dashboard, the website layout, the stuff that people see if they haven't launched a membership is very, very different to what they'll see if they have launched a membership. Again, just meeting people where they are, cutting out the noise, making them more likely that they'll actually make progress rather than spend their time trying to figure out where to start. Doing things that don't scale as well to kind of increase that personal touch. So we've introduced for our pro members, this is one of the main reasons we introduced the two tiers. So we use a tool called VideoAsk, which allows you to do asynchronous video messaging. And our pro members can just send a video message that comes straight to me, picking my brains. We literally call the feature Pick Our Brains. Comes to me, and then every morning I'll sit there with my coffee and I'll say, okay, I've got a message from these people, and I'll just reply straight on my phone. And it's so personal and kind of intimate, because it's not, I know this is an audio podcast, but we're chatting to each other on video. I'm in my video room. I've got the lights. I've got the backdrop. I've got the fancy camera. This is me just sometimes having to brush my hair with my phone in front of me, like just catching up with a friend. And I think the thing is, because so much talk about memberships is about the scalability, it's about the one-to-many factor. But sometimes you have to do things that you don't think are going to scale in order to maintain a personal touch with people. And I think that personal touch and that tailored element are so critical to keeping members engaged, particularly once they've consumed your stuff. Once they've watched all the content, the community element will do some of that lifting for you. And, you know, if you're nurturing the community, if you are kind of getting out of the way of members connecting with each other, I think sometimes as experts and influencers, if someone asks a question in our membership, we want to rush to get in there to answer. Sometimes you need to strategically stall and let members connect with each other. So that community element will take care of a lot of it. But don't be afraid to just like be more personal, be more intimate with your member base. And if you give people the option of sending, you know, those personal videos, you have to remember, you might have 2,000 members, 3,000 members, they're not all going to do it all at once. Like, we've got a couple of thousand members and maybe deal with 3-4 messages a day at the most, and that's a busy day. It's not overwhelming, it's manageable, and it pays off because retention rate benefits from it. And it has for us, and we've seen other memberships within our community doing the same thing, and it pays off for them as well. Because the membership industry, the membership world has matured over the last decade, especially coming out of the pandemic. It's not enough to just have a membership anymore. Like, that's like, it's not even enough to just have a good membership with a great community and great content. That's the baseline. Like, looking for ways to go above and beyond and to make every member feel like it's a more of a personal experience for them. That makes a huge, huge difference for retention, engagement, all that good stuff.
That is huge. I've noticed the same thing. You kind of have that baseline of what you need to have, but then, yeah, how do you go and make it better? So I love that example of doing those little private videos with everyone. I think that's such a great feature and a great touch point for people that's beyond just like, hey, go watch a video I recorded that everyone can see, right?
Yeah, I think definitely. Awesome. Definitely. And I think getting the team involved as well, obviously not everyone's going to have a team as such, but
right. You
know, once you get to a point where you need to bring in a community manager, I think for a lot of memberships, if you have a community help, a community manager is probably one of the first people you should look to have in place. But again, get out of their way. Because if you have another face of the business, another person where hearing from them is going to mean something to that member, then that just lightens the load for you. And it just makes it a friendlier experience for your members too. Yeah, our members love Hannah. They like getting videos from Hannah a lot more than from me. So I'm perfectly fine with that.
I love it. Yeah, that's the thing. If you are starting to grow a team around it, then you want people to connect with everyone on your team and not just you as the founder of it. I think that's really smart too.
Definitely. And it's better for you strategically as well, because it means that your membership and your business isn't so symbiotic with you as an individual. Big mistake I see a lot of memberships who are reaching that tipping point where they're starting to think about what's 10 years look like? What's 15 years look like? What does an exit potentially look like? One of the biggest hurdles to exiting a membership business is having your value proposition too heavily entangled in you and your ability to show up. Because if you step away from the business, all of a sudden it loses a significant amount of value. So yeah, the more the membership stands on its own 2 feet, the more your team are involved, and the more it has its own identity as a community, the more likely you're going to be able to have options in the future if you want to sell it or scale back your involvement or whatever.
I like that. I feel like this is like graduate level membership membership talk. And I know there's definitely some people who have sold their memberships. I know Fizzle comes to mind, and I'm sure there's others as well. So I think that's a really interesting concept for people too.
Yeah, there's a one immediately popped to mind. I think is Platform University sold as well. Michael Hyatt sold to a speaking company. You know, because subscription-based companies are very appealing acquisitions because usually they have that flywheel going. And obviously the recurring revenue, we all know how great recurring revenue is. And yeah, we talk about having multiple levers you can pull on to increase the profitability of the business. Yeah, they're very good businesses to sell, to acquire. But you do need to try and remove yourself as much as possible from being so crucial in the value proposition. It can't all be about you. Some of it still needs to be. You know, you are still an asset to your membership, but it needs to not fall apart if you step away. Otherwise, you'll never get a holiday.
That's really important. Yeah, I think people, when we start a business, we're like, okay, I'm leaving my 9 to 5 and I'm starting this, but then you realize, okay, actually this is a, 24/7 kind of business, right? So it's good to have other people in place that can help when you want to take time away from it as well. So I think that's so important. Thank you for sharing that.
Definitely.
All right. So what is maybe one place that people should go to find you, or, a good place to start with your work? And I know you and Kelly have so many great resources, and obviously a membership too.
Yeah. So the best place to start would be overrent.com. That's where we have all of our free resources, podcast articles, a whole bunch of awesome things for whatever stage of your membership you're at. And if you want our absolute best, then you'll find us inside membershipacademy.com. That's our membership about memberships. But check out the Geeks website first, because if you don't like the sound of my voice, if you don't like our style in the free stuff, you're not going to like it inside the academy. So yeah, check out membershipgeeks.com. First protocol.
I love it, Mike. Thank you so very much. You shared such amazing, amazing actionable advice. So thank you for coming on today.
My absolute pleasure. It's been a lot of fun chatting memberships.
Want to keep growing your business on your terms? Then sign up for my free newsletter, The Momentum Memo. You'll get quick, actionable tips to gain momentum in your business every Tuesday. Head over to natalielucier.com to join other entrepreneurs scaling on their terms. Whether you're just getting started or have been running your business for a while, the Momentum Memo has something for you.